WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, and good afternoon. Happy Friday to you. I know it's Friday afternoon here. It's 5:30 particularly, because I know this didn't play in the morning here. I missed the cutoff time for us to hear the second part of Mars Hill of my sermon, which started yesterday. But you guys are going to hear that now, where we left off. We were in Acts, I believe it's chapter 17, Paul's sermon on the Areopagus, known as Mars Hill. We're on some odd days here on WGOD, where we've gone through already the series that I'm preaching at church, which is Understanding Eschatology, which is where we're going to be this weekend. You are invited Sunday morning at 10:30 for the next to last message in Understanding Eschatology. Jesus wants you to understand when He's coming back. And the sign that He gave you that He's coming back soon is when things around you are just like they were when Lot was alive and what characterized his days. And what characterized his days, really two things. Number one, rampant homosexuality. And number two, rampant homosexuality by children. I read in the paper this morning, teachers are chilled over the fact they won't be able to teach a kindergartner about being homosexual or transgender. Well, I'll tell you what I'm chilled about, friends. What's going to happen to you for misleading a child? That's what chills me, because Jesus said it's better off for that person if a millstone is hung around their neck and they be thrown into the depths of the sea than for deceiving or hurting or misleading a child. That's where we're at this weekend. Boy, I tell you, woe to you. Woe to you, school teacher, who misleads and hurts a child like that. Woe to you. Woe. This is where we're at here today. Not as many woes as you're getting from me, because this is a hill I've decided. I'm defending this hill, friend, at all costs. To see this state and this country harm a child like that. But Jesus gave it as a sign. That's where we're at this Sunday morning. Hey, if you can't make it, you'll hear it here on the radio. I invite you to come by if you're not going to a church for my sermon, The Days of Lot. Sunday morning, 10:30. We're at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. You can join us live on Facebook if you're a Facebook kind of person. That feed will kick on right at 10:30. Island Community Church is the name of our Facebook page. If you're not a Facebook page, you can download our church's app, and it's a free download. Do you have a phone or a tablet? Then download Island Community Church FL, and that'll turn on live during the music portion of our service right around 10:45, and you can see this message. It's bound to get me in trouble, but it is what it is. Here today, now let's hear the rest of this message. Mars Hills, a lot going on at our church. God's doing a great work. God will do a great work in any church that stands up for the truth and still preaches and teaches the Word of God. Wednesday nights, we're in verse by verse going through the Gospel of Luke. We're in chapter 3, and that's where we left off last week. That's where we'll be this coming Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. Here we go. Let's hear the rest of this message now. And God bless all of you. Thanks for putting up with my raves. I'm a little angry. I'm a little angry at seeing people deceive children, especially the innocent like that. At that age, at 5 or 6 or 7 years old, it just breaks my heart. But I'll tell you what, it might break my heart, but it makes the Son of God angry. And he's coming back soon, and he's going to turn this crooked world right side up. And he gave us signs to know when that was going to happen. And that's what we've been looking at here. Because I fear for those that he's coming back in my lifetime. Here's the rest of this message.
With all unrighteous deception, verse 10, among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, that's refusing love. What a thing to die for. Not for your sins. Someone else died for them. You're dying at the end of this age, or when this happens to you, for refusing love. That's the charge over all humanity, is that God loves you. How do you plead? You receive that, right? God loves you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross in your place. Because God, that's the heart of the gospel. God demonstrates, Romans 5 and 8, God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we're still sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. That's the heart of the gospel. If you reject that, the same Paul that terrorized the countryside is going to happen to you too. Let me finish reading this. That's why it says, for this reason, verse 11, refusing love, saying no to Jesus, saying, I don't want your love. Isn't that funny? Everybody wants love. You know? And if I went to the jail, went to visit Osama bin Laden, and he told me, you know, I want you to go and I want you to tell Mike that I love him. He's a good guy. So I come back and I tell Mike, you know, Osama told me to tell you that he loves you. Now, I know Mike, he wouldn't say this, but some other Mike might say, you know that Osama, he's not a bad guy after all. Or I went out to California, ran into old Charlie Manson, and he said, you know, you tell all that Bill Wilson, you know, he's a good guy. I love Bill. So I tell Bill, and Bill goes, you know that Manson, he's all right in my book. But I tell you that God loves you, and you chased me down the street with a hatchet. You see, you've got help to get to that position. You've got help. Satan, as this Bible says, he's blinded the minds of those that see not. I tell you, hoodlums love you. You change your opinion of them. I tell you, God loves you, and you want to kill the messenger. You've always killed the messenger. The church, the people, has always killed the messenger. Always. And now, for wanting to kill the messenger, those three words, Diatutu in Greek, three in English, for this reason. Look at what's going to happen. For the mindset, refusing Christ, refusing his love, you're bent out of shape that God loves you. It says, for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion. So that, meaning here's what's going to happen because of your delusion. So that they should believe the lie. So that they all might be damned who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure or delighted in unrighteousness. You'll be just like Paul in those early chapters are just like these Jews. In your very own personal stupor, despising those that are being saved, only much worse, the Bible says you will believe the lie. You know what the lie is? It's three words. Antichrist is God. Where is that in the Bible? He sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 2 through 6. Who do you think's going to believe that? Those people that bring you the news every night? Those that are diametrically opposed to you and want to see you killed? Those that demand a cover on your Bible or your child's Bible in school? Think about that curse, friend. That when this Antichrist comes, the same thing that's happened to the Jews, God's going to flip the script and it's going to happen to them. God is going to force them to believe the lie. Antichrist sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, and all the people are going to say, count me in. Except for you, the people of God, who will recognize a counterfeit. Me and my brother always fight over the rapture. I don't believe it. He believes it. I don't believe it. He believes it. But he knows the word. He goes, I'm not a fool. My brother says, when I see someone sitting as God in the temple of God, I'm going to run. And that's the right answer. Argue over things we don't know. Warning, when you see someone sitting in a rebuilt temple, get out of Dodge. Get on Secretariat and head out of town. You know, I was reading on Secretariat the other day. Did you know when he was out to stud that the other horses wouldn't eat until he ate? That just kills me. I'm serious. All these horses out there, not one of them would touch a morsel of food until he ate. 14 quarts a day. No one would touch food until he ate. That was the king of the horses there. God's noble steed, Secretariat. Okay, book, chapter, and verse. Paul's in Athens. Probably has a week before his buddies arrive. So now he's going to hang out in Athens, see what's going on there in town. We're at verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw the city was given over to idols. Maybe he had cable TV on today. Talk about a city and a nation that's given over to idols. Verse 17. Therefore, okay, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw the city was given over to idols. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. Then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him and said, what does this spermologos want to say? Some translations say babbler. My Bible says seed picker. Others say he seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. You can't preach Jesus without the resurrection. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is what? Raised him from the dead. You'll be saved. Romans 10:9. All right, so they took him and brought him to the Areopagus. That's where Ares is the Greek or Latin word for Mars, like the planet Mars. They brought him up to Mars Hill, saying, may we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak? For you're bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean. For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there, they spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. All right, now Paul's answer is textbook. Matter of fact, it is textbook. This is what they teach you in seminary on how to preach a sermon. Is this sermon here? You start with a compliment. Other than the King James Version, that doesn't really have a compliment there. But the New King James reads like this. Paul stood in the midst of Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive in all things that you're very religious." See, you don't walk into a strange crowd and start insulting people. He wanted to get their trust, their attention. He complimented them for being religious folk. But it's a very difficult Greek word to translate. That's why the King James says, "I perceive in all things that you are too superstitious," the King James has there. "I can see that you people are very religious." Excellent, he's saying. Verse 23, "For as I was passing through, and as I was considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription on it. It said, Pros Agnosto Theo, which is to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you." What an absolutely brilliant thing to do, what he did here. He took an inanimate object he found in town square, a sign, which, in case the Greeks had forgotten some god, little g, that they weren't familiar with, and not to offend that god, little g, amongst all the other gods, they throw up this sign in case they had forgotten someone. Pros Agnosto Theo. That's for every other god to sign over here. And he made that the focal point of his whole sermon. Verse 24, "God," capital G, "God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord," capital L, "of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life and breath and all things." You see, it's good that your people want to worship God, but God is not like you think him to be, he's saying. He doesn't need you to bring him a glass of water and leave it here. He doesn't need you to do anything to sustain him. He is the one that gives life and breath to all things. Verse 26, "And he's made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth. And he has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." Now there's another profound statement, and one that I've had to learn the hard way and with much pain. Number one, first off, God has determined when you live. How cool is that? Of all the ages you could have lived, from Confucius to Napoleon, from George Wash to Abraham Lincoln, from Adam to Moses, God's got you alive at the end of the age. How cool is that? So God has determined when you live. And number two, God has determined where you live. You see that in the text? God has determined the boundaries of your dwellings. Notice this is not Joshua talking to the 12 tribes. It's Paul talking to a bunch of Greeks. God has determined where you are supposed to live. So where are you? Where are you? Are you living where you're supposed to be? Or are you somewhere else and outside of those boundaries? Let me tell you how painful it is to get outside of those boundaries. When you get outside of those boundaries, it's like running against the wind. It's like Jonah on a boat where everything works against you. Has anyone ever been there beside me? Where you get outside of the boundaries you're supposed to be. See, personally, at my job, I took sin personally at my other job, and I moved when I shouldn't have moved. God wanted me to be a light in the darkness, but instead I moved when I was supposed to stay where I was. I closed my church that I started. I walked out on Eric Marshall, my pastor friend, in the middle of a series teaching the book of Revelation. And when that happened, I turned into a failure. And I failed at everything I touched because I got outside of God's boundaries for me. So how about you? Did God tell you to go? Has God told you to go somewhere and you have not gone? Are you thinking about going somewhere when God's told you to stay and not to go anywhere? God has determined when you live. God has determined where you live. Let me encourage you to get back into the center of the will of God, where you've got the Midas touch and everything that you touch turns to gold. Now let's get back here to Paul's sermon here, verse 29. It says, therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, this is verse 30, truly these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. And he's given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Hallelujah. What a sermon this is. Powerful words still intact today. Because it hasn't happened yet, but that day is closer than ever. He gave assurance of what he said by raising Jesus from the dead. You see, when God raised Jesus from the dead, that authenticated every word that he ever said by raising him from the dead. He gave assurance to everything. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He's given assurance of this by raising him from the dead. He says, those that have seen me have seen the Father. He gave assurances of this by raising him from the dead. He says, oh, how narrow is the gate that leads to life, and there are so few that find it. He's given assurances of that by raising him from the dead. He says, I am the resurrection. Oh, that's next week's sermon. I am the resurrection. God has authenticated that by raising Jesus up from the dead. The resurrection is the Christian faith. Praise God is right. That's what sets us apart from everyone else. Death is not the end. It's the beginning. Where eyes not seen, ears not heard, nor is entered into the hearts of men and women, that which God has prepared for those that love him. It's only the beginning. You know, this kills me when these Muslims come up to you and they say, prepare to meet thy maker. You fool, you've missed it. You cut me down. You want to really torture me, friend? Make me live? Make me live longer? Make me live in this decrepit world? I'm prepared to meet my maker. How about you? Are you ready? Is your name in the book? I'm cutting to the chase. Now, when they heard of the resurrection from the dead, some mocked him, while others said, We want to hear you again on this. So Paul departed from among them. Let me leave you today with this promise, that these times of ignorance God has overlooked. The King James, I love it. It says he winked at. Winking? These times of ignorance God has winked at because he has appointed a day that is a day on his calendar, like the Battle of the Bulge or D-Day. He has appointed a day. It's on his calendar. And that day is ever so close, just like the Bible says. Our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. He has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man, capital M, whom he has ordained. And that man is Jesus. Are you able to stand? Is your name in the book? I would say, look around. Does God have your attention yet? Because time is short. The Lord said, when you see all of these things, see, that's the key. That's the key to understanding Matthew 24. People say, well, there's always been wars. There's always been famines. There's always been a pest. You see, the key to understanding it is when you see all of these things going on simultaneously at the same time. Wars, ethnic uprising, that's nation, is ethnos. Nation against nation is ethnic group against ethnic group. When you see the black plague out here in the street, and when you see, because lawlessness will increase, the love of many will wax cold. When you see all of those things, then he says, recognize that my return is near, even at the doors. I say to you, Jesus is no longer sitting. He's standing, and he's standing at the doors. And he's waiting to come back here and to invade our world once again. Hallelujah is right. That's a good thing. The question is, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for his return? If he comes back today, are you ready? Let's pray.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. How precious.